Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Shelly with Point of Grace. Shelly, thank you for hopping on here.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning.
Point of Grace has always been like a part of our lives. My wife actually wanted me to show you guys this. I don't know if you can see that. So for those who can't see
yes,
this,
I can.
This is a Point of Grace Girls of Grace journal from back in the day.
It's actually really cute. I don't remember it being that cute.
One of the pictures that I have from doing concerts and all that from my childhood, you guys were here in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to say it was probably been about 15, 20 years ago or so on one of your CD mm-hmm. tours. Back when, for all the younger listeners here, like there's these Family Christian bookstores or Mardell's, or there's like actually places that you went to buy CDs and to buy music, which mm-hmm. seems like that doesn't happen anymore. But you guys were there. I can't remember which album it was that you guys were promoting, but we went through, we got autographs, got the signed CDs and all that. And we mm-hmm. got a picture of you guys at the table. And my big old 13 fat kid belly was like right in the middle of the picture. You couldn't see me, but you could see, I was like, oh, that's really the memory that I want to have of this. Totally.
Yeah. That middle school boy bod.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter what you say, the kids never believe they're going to grow out of it, but you always do.
Now I went from my middle school fat kid bod to my dad bod now. So
those glory days in between that.
NRT this year, kind of our theme this year has been the NR20, you know, our 20th anniversary that's come through here. Just mm-hmm. want to hear from you a little bit about what's changed, what has your guys' experience been over the last 20 years since that would have been early 2000s? What have you guys seen, not only in the Christian music in the industry, but also your guys' mm-hmm. journey as well?
I mean, 20 years is a long time, and so I had a baby in that 20 years and she's in college now. I mean, that's basically the time span you're talking about. And so just being parents and kind of going through all those stages, like the one we just talked about, the middle school stage and all the great things before and after. And I think, you know, the music industry has changed so much. And I'm sure that you know that too, just you describing going to an actual bookstore and buying a CD and just that like consumer meeting the artist experience and all of that. I mean, that was like a big deal then. And I think that with the dawn of social media and everything, I don't know if that's as big of a deal anymore. I mean, not only because people are streaming most of their music now, but also just because you can see all the people that you like online whenever you want to all the time and see what they're eating for breakfast. And so it's kind of weird. It's kind of like made people sort of bigger stars in some way, but it's also taken away a little bit of the, I guess, mystique or whatever, but you don't even have those kind of interactions anymore. Those like, I'm so excited. Like I remember just like you, I remember my dad taking me down to our local Walmart and standing in line and waiting to meet Sandy Patty and having her sign my album. It was like a big LP. That was a huge deal. And that just doesn't happen anymore. You can't get that up close and personal unless you buy a $500 VIP ticket or something like that. But I think the good thing about the way things are now is that anybody can rise to the top as far as music, and you can get your music out online. And if it's good enough, it'll get traction and you'll get noticed. And that's kind of cool that it's like leveled the playing field a little bit. So I think there's just a lot more releases coming out now all the time, just almost ad nauseum, you know?
When you guys did those appearances with the family bookstores and all that, it just seems like the lines always moved like super fast. How would you guys say that your interaction, your engagement with the consumers, you know, with the fans and all that has changed?
Well, with COVID, it's really changed because we don't really go out and sign as much anymore. I mean, we're starting to get back into that a little bit, but people are still a little like, you know, but that was always hard for us because we're people, and you'd see like these little girls that have been waiting in line for a long time. And then you've got the store owner who are going, okay, you know, one picture as you're walking and hurry through. But so we always tried to do our best to like
look people in the eye and talk to them. It's just that, honestly, it's like a numbers game. It's like you have so many people to get through at a certain amount of time. And so we would just try to do the best we could. But now, when we do have like a concert or something like that, the people that do stay,
I think they're probably getting more quality time than they used to, which is nice.
Kind of going back to this, you know, this journal, you guys have always had heart for girls' ministry and all that. How would you say that's changed over, I mean, obviously with the parenting, like you were saying, you know, having the kids and that, but also just in the last 20 years, how would you say that has changed?
I mean, I think generally speaking, girls are probably dealing with the same kind of problems, but they're just heightened more probably with the comparison game of seeing things online and stuff like that. But for us, we just, it was sort of conscious. I mean, doing Girls of Grace was great for the years that we did it, but it was like a lot of work and it was really, really big for a few years. Girls really liked it. And we still talk to girls all the time that say, I went to your Girls of Grace in Grand Rapids, or I went to, you know, this one or that one. But as we kind of got a little bit older, for a while, it was kind of like we were like a big sister. It felt like authentic and like the girls would really care. Then we started feeling like, okay, we're moms talking to teenagers and they hear that all day long. And so we don't want to keep doing, you know, we just felt like we got a little bit too old to kind of do that. But I don't know, now looking back on it, it's more about getting people in the room. I think that girls would enjoy hearing from us even at our age. I just think if you're authentic and you speak from your own experience, that can be really helpful to people. But I mean, now it's more about the events and so many concerts. And so it's just harder.
I'm starting to get to that age where I've always been kind of the youngest in a group or kind of on the younger edge of whatever. And now I'm starting to get to like the middle of the pack. There was one day, like at youth at the church I'm at, I was literally the oldest person in the building that day. And it's like, I am not okay with this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that happens to us all.
It's one of those things that creeps up on you. And it's just like you're saying, kind of from that big brother to now, like the old guy in the back, just like, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. And I'm not sure I'm okay with that yet.
What's weird is like, what I think about is inside my mind, I'm always like, I feel like I'm so much less mature. And like, I don't even have any business like being a mom and stuff, you know, and I always wonder like, do other people think that too? Do they still feel young in their head and just old in their body? You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel sometimes. Like, I still feel so immature and so like, but is everyone else in their mind like fully adult and like, you know, not thinking about the same things I'm, I don't know. It's funny to think about.
I still, for some reason, still think of myself as like a mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
We have a 10-year-old. Part of it too is we have two babies as well, but
oh my gosh,
just my, I don't know, just the mentality. Sometimes I feel like I'm late 20s. Like, it doesn't feel like I should be closer to 40 than I am 20.
Right, right, right. And you're full on adulting, but it doesn't feel like you should be.
On one end, like, I'm excited about getting a new water heater in my house. But on the other end, it's like, I don't feel like I should be that old enough to have the responsibilities that goes along with being older. And
yeah, no, I totally get that. Yep. It just gets weirder and weirder.
I was okay when I hit 30. I was perfectly fine. Like, hey, I'm in the good spot of my life. And then we bought a minivan. And that's kind of where things fell apart for me. It's like, nope, it's done.
All downhill from there. Yeah.
It wasn't the age. It was.
They're very good, though, for families, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been great. Like, I'm slowly being okay that we did it. But like, it wasn't the age. It was. That was kind of our signal that, yeah, we're no longer the cool parents. We're no, you know.
No, we're not. Yep.
We're family people now.
Right. That's right. And that's okay. That's cool.
So I feel like this is a good spot to get into the book that you guys have released recently about the lessons you guys have learned.
Yeah.
Let's dig into that a little bit. Obviously, that's from the experiences and lessons you've learned over the last little while.
Yeah. We're working with Lifeway on this. And the girls, say, were all in their late 20s, early 30s, and had either listened to our music or their moms had growing up. And we kind of leaned on them a lot. They really helped us decide which topics to cover and things like that. We're like, well, what would you guys care about as like late 20s or young moms or whatever? And so we just started kind of throwing up a bunch of topics for essays on the board. And it was kind of neat how they easily divided themselves out among us. Although it was funny that I always thought till the other day that the book was absolutely even, like we all wrote the same amount. And then I started looking at it because we had to pull out some stuff or something. And I'm like, okay, they used 9 of mine and Lee's, and Denise has 12. So I'm gonna have to talk to somebody about that. Like, does that mean she has more wisdom? I don't know. But we did some on, I mean, there's a lot of different topics like parenting and going to college and then fun things like hospitality and, you know, family nights and things like that. Just little lessons we've learned along the way. And Lifeway did a great job in the process of just making it a really pretty book, a book that you would want to give to somebody. And one of the neat parts in the back that says lessons I've learned, it's the perfect thing to give to somebody at like a baby shower or a wedding, as a wedding gift or something. And you can just put a little piece of advice or a story or something that God's taught you along the way and just journal that into the back of the book and give it as a gift. And it makes it personal. People have really liked it. And we're using it on our concerts to sort of read out of, to introduce different songs and stuff like that. And that seems to be going really well.
You said you had 9 topics. What was some of your favorite topics to get, dig into and some of the lessons that you've learned?
Yeah. I think one of the ones that seems like that I share about in concert, and it seems like it really hits home with a lot of people, is one I did on anxiety. And I kind of grew up with my grandmother and my mom both are just like big time worriers and have always dealt with like anxiety and just going to the worst case scenario. And that is so totally me too. I inherited that gene or whatever it is. And, you know, just to talk about how I've struggled with that and sort of some things that I've learned along the way that have kind of helped me deal with that. And so that's one that I share in concert and people are always like, that's totally me too. And so that's always good when you can just relate to people in that way. And that's one of my favorite ones. The one on raising children and kind of getting off the hamster wheel with trying to keep up with the Joneses as you're raising your kids and feeling like, oh, I need to put them in everything. And just the whole rat race, it seems like the competitive nature, at least in the South, I feel like it's really big where I live anyway, of the kids has to have a trainer in baseball by the time they're 2, if they're going to play in middle school. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but almost not. It's kind of crazy what parents put their kids through and what they sort of buy into to try to be the best at something. And so I did a thing about that, and it's different, like life stuff.
You're not wrong on some of that. I talk about getting my oldest daughter into softball every once in a while. And
How old is she?
She's 10.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of worry that she's too late to the game sometimes. I mean, because, you know, she's 10 and she hasn't started.
But it's like, how crazy is that statement 10 years, 20 years ago?
Oh, I know, right?
She's 10. But that's just like so. Like, that's when most kids would start. But now it's just like gone crazy, you know?
Yeah, and so many travel teams. But, no. You know, for a recreational, you know, just I want to just get out and play. It's like, how do we do that? Like, what is there actually out here that, you know, you can just have it be chill, just let her play without it being just absolutely nuts?
Yeah, we have a lot. I mean, like, our neighbor's son is that way. He just plays like rec ball. You can find it like at a rec center, a county rec center or something like that. But you don't have to drink the Kool-Aid and be gone every weekend on a travel team.
Just seems like it's getting harder and harder to do because it's, mm-hmm. I mean, there's down here in my area, the Dallas area here, and there's places all over the place that are baseball, that have baseball coaches that are lessons. I mean, like, it's a whole industry in and of itself, which.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, if your kid is really that dedicated.
Who has the money? Cool. Who has the money to do that? You know, it's like crazy.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about what that costs.
I'm sure it's ridiculous.
So you're talking about being in the South. Where do all you guys live?
Well, we all grew up in the South. Denise grew up in Oklahoma, and Lee grew up in South Carolina, and I grew up in Arkansas. But we all live in Nashville now. Gotcha. We moved here when we got our record deal, and it's just kind of where the industry is located. And it was just cheaper for us to be here than it was in Oklahoma because we were always having meetings and record and things like that. So yeah, we all live here.
And one of the things that seems like it has changed a little bit is just being able to be a little bit more spread out around the country. I've seen some groups that are able to you know, have a member here or there, and then just either fly in Nashville or with advent of all the technology that's come out across the last 20 years, you can have a random studio in the middle of Kansas.
Right. Totally. Yeah, that's totally true. You totally can make it work that way. But I mean, it's still hard on the person that doesn't live in town, because they're either flying in to get on the bus, so they've got an extra day of travel there, or, you know, their flight's late and they don't meet, they're late for the show or whatever. Anybody would probably tell you it's still easiest to be here, but there are some good things probably about not being here too. So you're not as available, like, hey, we need you to come on over here and do this or that. And you're like, you don't really have an excuse because we live right here. There's good and bad to it.
Kind of pulling in that 20-year theme here.
Yeah.
I think it was Baylor Wilson. We had her on the podcast a while ago, and she was talking about how she grew up listening to Point of Grace. Her mom was listening to Point of Grace, and that's some of her Christian music history. What have you guys seen with different artists that have started coming up over the last few years? And have you met some people that you guys have influenced and they were huge fans of yours growing up?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely has happened to us along the way. And it's just interesting. Like, my daughter just went to college. This isn't really an artist, but I said, your friends won't know who Point of Grace is, like the people that you meet, but their moms will, you know. But yeah, I mean, that has definitely, I think, happened all along the way. What's really funny are some of the boys that you think it's going to be girl, like, oh, the girls listen to it. But I remember being in a thing pretty early on. It was, we were in Oceanway Studio, and we were doing, it was all these artists. It was like a We Are the World type of thing, but I can't remember what the song was. But anyway, the Mercy Me guys were standing behind us, and I remember they were like, oh my gosh, keep the candle burning. They were like singing our song, Keep the Candle Burning and stuff. And I was like, who are these guys? You know, like, but I mean, I think they grew up in Texas. Didn't they grow up in Texas, David?
Yep.
Or something? Yep. Yeah. And so, I mean, we were pretty big in Texas for a while. So yeah, I mean, that happened. That does happen a lot. Meredith Andrews, I know, listened to our music growing up, and Brit Nicole and a lot of those girls. So it's fun.
I figure that at some point we have to talk about Christmas and
yes,
this Christmas album.
Sure.
I've been trying to put it off as long as I can, because like, as
we're
recording this, I think it's still too early for Christmas. My wife and kids disagree with me, but I'm the bah humbug.
Yeah.
But I figure we, at some point, we got to talk about this Christmas album.
Yeah. Yes. We're really excited about it. It's called Sing Noel. We love doing Christmas music. It's one of our favorite times of year to sing songs, because it so lends itself to harmony. Like, it's the perfect kind of music for us. And so we had so much fun making the record. It released a couple of years ago, only through Lifeway. So a lot of people really didn't even know about it. And the songs really were working so well in concert that we put on Sing Noel, that our record company is re-releasing. And it never got released digitally. Just, you could only, like, talk about go to the store and buy a record. It was like that kind of thing. It was just in, you go to a Lifeway store and you could get it, and that was it. And it was kind of an exclusive for them. I'm like, gosh, all this work, all these beautiful strings and orchestration, and like, I think maybe 60,000 people, which is awesome, but so many more people could hear it if we got this online. And so anyway, we recorded a brand new song for it, kind of made it like a deluxe edition, if you will. And the song is called Gloria. It will release to all formats everywhere at the end of, well, it already has released now. So you can get it digitally now, and you can stream it, and all those things. But yeah, it's got some classics, and it's also has a couple of new things that you may not have heard, but I'm a kind of a classics girl when it comes to Christmas stuff. But the new song, I mean, we were like, we're not going to record a new Christmas song unless it's, we think it's amazing. Honestly, when I heard the song Gloria, we were all on the first listen. It's like, you just know when you hear something that you think this could be great, you just know it. And so, and all of us had the same reaction to it. And so we made a video to the song, and some of your listeners have probably seen that by now, but we had a great time recording it. We recorded it with a producer named Seth Mosley and X O'Connor, and they do tons of stuff here in town with different people, and they just knocked it out of the park on the production. And so Yeah, we're excited for everyone to hear it. It's called Gloria, the King Has Come, and hopefully you're hearing it on your radio stations and stuff.
Got to end the episode, since this is a Christmas episode. Best family Christmas tradition.
Ours is kind of hard because we kind of did this thing growing up where my family's in Arkansas and my husband's family's in Michigan. And so we sort of got on this schedule where every third year we'd be at home in Nashville 1 year, then the next year we go to Little Rock, Arkansas, and then next year we go to Michigan and then do it again like that. It's like, okay, what year is this? Which Christmas is this, you know? And so it's kind of different depending on where we go, but we do your typical always go to church on Christmas Eve to the candlelight service. And then if we're my parents in Little Rock, we would always go after church to eat Chinese food. I have no idea why, but that's what we would do. We do that still. We do that sometimes at home too, but sometimes we'll do that on Christmas Day. But a really fun tradition that we had for many years was I would take my daughter, Caroline, I mean, since she was really young and normally like my neighbor and her daughter, and we would get dressed up, the moms and the girls, and we would go see the Rockettes. They had like a 10-year contract at the Grand Ole Opry House.
Oh, wow.
And so we would go see the Rockettes and then like go to dinner or whatever. And then they just all of a sudden weren't there. And I was like, wait, what? We've done this for 10 years. And they're like, yeah, their contract's up and they're not doing anymore. So they brought some like Dr. Seuss thing in there. So then at that point, we started doing the Nutcracker downtown. And the girls thought that was really fun too. And then we would go to like a fancy hotel after and get dinner. And that was always really fun. The girls always looked forward to doing that. So yeah, now they're in college and they probably still do it if we. So.
Well, we just really appreciate you hanging out with us here, yeah. Shelly.
Thank you. I hope you'll have a great Christmas and everybody gets to come out and see our show. There's still some shows left. And so look on our website, pointofgrace.net, and you can get tickets and everything right there. And yeah, we're kind of all over the place. So just check out the tour schedule.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.